Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. Great to be with you. January the 31st, 2011. I told you the month of January would go fast. And obviously, it's going very, very fast all around. And we're at the end of the month. We are getting ready to move into February, and we're going to need to hear from some of you. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I want to introduce, Gabriele Amaroth, I believe that's his name. He's considered the chief exorcist at the Vatican. Matter of fact, I'm going to read some of the article here. Here's what it says. That Gabriele Amaroth, 85, who has been the Vatican's chief exorcist for 25 years, says that he's dealt with 70,000 cases of demonic possession. Now listen, 70,000 cases of demonic possession. And that the consequences of satanic infiltration included power struggles at the Vatican, as well as cardinals who do not believe in Jesus, and bishops who are linked to the demon. I'm going on with the article, and this is what it says. He added, now again, chief exorcist at the Vatican, 85 years old, 70,000 cases. He goes on, and I quote, when one speaks of the smoke of Satan in the holy rooms, it is all true, including these latest stories of violence and pedophilia. He claimed that another example of satanic behavior was the Vatican cover-up over the deaths of some of the Swiss Guard. He continues, this priest, Amaroth, quote, that the devil was pure spirit invisible. But he manifests himself in blasphemies and afflictions in the person he possesses. He can remain hidden or speak in different languages, transform himself or appear as agreeable. At times he even makes fun of me, end of quote. He goes on to say these words, quote, he said it sometimes took six or seven of his assistants to hold down a possessed person. Those possessed often yelled and screamed and spat out nails or pieces of glass, which he kept in a bag. Anything can come out of their mouths, finger-length pieces of iron, but also rose petals. He said that he hoped every diocese would eventually have a resident exorcist. Under church canon law, any priest can perform exorcisms, but in practice, they are carried out by a chosen few trained in the rites. Now, Gabriele Amaroth was ordained in 1954 and became an official exorcist in 1986. In the past, he has suggested that Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin were possessed by the devil. He was among Vatican officials who warned that J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter novels made a false distinction between black and white magic. Now, as I'm reading the stories of a Vatican priest, of a Vatican exorcist, 70,000 exorcisms. 70,000. His declaration of the infiltration of the Vatican. Now, let me say this. I welcome those at the Vatican. I welcome those in Rome. I have noticed over the last 6 months that there's been hundreds of downloads of our materials, you know, right there on the streets in cafes and other places there in Roma, right next to the Vatican. I want you to know that the subject matter this week, and if you haven't already looked, the subject matter this week deals with, well, it's titled for the theme, Catholic Rite of Exorcism, what's right about the Roman Catholic Rite of Exorcism? Now, here are the words that I put on this page concerning kind of an introduction to this, and I know that some have been waiting, and I want you to hear me right now. This is not about bashing Roman Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, or anybody else. This is an acknowledgement as we go into this week of the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ over his church and his right to deal with it. Well, the Word of God says judgment begins at the house of God. What I'm going to do in the midst of this week is tackle the complexities And a lot of the things that really are the traditions of men, that are the traditions of men in the area of doctrines and practices that obscure the simplicity of the gospel, that obscure the simplicity of salvation, and obscure the simplicity of exorcism. Now, we're going to go ahead and use the word exorcism. It's a word used by many. Actually, if you look at the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, Jesus commanding legion out of a man uses the word ek, just out, a commanding word commanding the demonic presence, all of them, out. When the demon answered and said, my name is legion, for we are many, his command was to all of them. And again, the supremacy is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that we're going to be talking about this week, we're going to see the supremacy of Christ as a contrast to the reality of satanic powers, but also the utter, if you want to call it a contrast or divide, the supremacy of Christ is beyond measure when it comes to the powers of darkness. Let me say this. I also welcome those who are listening from, Facebook friends that have come in, and all of you around those listening to satellite and internet radio in Boulder City, Nevada. We just want to say welcome, all those who will download later, in Russia and in China. Listen, China, you have issues of demonization. I'm noticing a lot of hundreds and hundreds of downloads all through China. All over the world, there is a growing issue of demonization. In the United States, though it seems like the bulk of the body of Christ, of the churches, are still 30 years behind in dealing with spiritual warfare, in dealing with the biblical basics, this only aids and gives room for satanic and demonic encroachment, their work. I really think that we have missed the heads-up insight that God has given, the Spirit of God has given, telling us about the ramping up of the end of days. Now, we've been trying to do that for some time. We're grateful that many of you have written about your appreciation for the work and for the emphasis. All I know to do is do, what I'm supposed to in my calling. Now listen, I'm not an exorcist. My job, I've been a pastor for over 30-some years and primarily involved in evangelism. If I'm to be known, I would rather be known for someone who's involved with evangelism. In our outreach now through all of these broadcasts, 90 countries of the world, the primary issue is to care about whether you know God, whether you know Christ, whether you're saved, whether you have the gift of salvation or not. That is the primary issue. Along with that, there are the ministry that Christ brought, healing and deliverance. So in my reference and in my use of the terms, I primarily use deliverance, getting free, or even using the phrase freedom encounter when it comes to dealing with issues, whether they're sin issues, other issues embedded in life, or whether it's directly demonic. It is the work of the living Christ, the work of the Spirit of God, the work of the Word of God in bringing absolute, not only freedom, forgiveness, freedom from sin, freedom from Satan and demons, but the empowerment and the grace and the might and the certainty of the living Christ's presence, our fellowship with Him, our joy in the Lord, and our ability to grow in Him and serve Him. Now listen, many of you that are listening tonight may be listening to see what's Russ going to say about the Catholics. Tonight it's about the movie specifically. I've been looking at a lot of these. See, I've probably seen about 30 movies that deal with demonization and so-called exorcism and so forth. Now, you've got to understand, my training and my concept comes from Francis Schaeffer. That comes from Cornelius Van Til. The concept of presuppositional apologetics, presuppositional analysis. That is, to be able to look at a movie, like I do a book, to read it and analyze it and to chew it over, to look at it through the grid of biblical revelation, the Spirit of God's discernment, and the light of the lordship and supremacy of Jesus Christ. So I knew that I would be asked to go to the movie, which I was, and I have been by others. I may end up seeing it other times, but I've already gone to see it and clearly have waded through it and looked through it, looked at the background issues and studied it, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Let me give you a few things that are going on. For those living in this area, we've got a blizzard coming in this area, and I've listened to news report after news report in this area that a massive blizzard, that 10 inches, 12 inches, 15 inches of snow, ice might come first, and then very, very cold weather. We're going to see. We got some food and water here. We might be in the house here for a few days and not going out. But we're going to have a blizzard. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in our area, all through Illinois and other places that we've seen. We know that New England has had quite a bit up there, too. Let me mention that in the news, everybody's watching what's happening right now in Egypt. And it's an amazing thing, and our eyes need to be kept on how this is spreading to four other nations and the riots and the protests. It's one thing to protest, and it's one thing to really want to see changes occur. But one thing that is sad and sickening is the stories of many who are trying to stay safe. You know, there's prisons where all the prisoners got out, and there's those that are going looting, stealing, raping, and killing, and many other things. And that all needs to be dealt with. But we need to look at the Muslim Brotherhood. We need to look at where Hamas is coming in. We need to keep our eyes on all of this. It reminds me again, not that it's here yet, but the red horse. There's the white horse, the prophetic revelation of the spirit of Antichrist and the rise of Antichrist and the coming of Antichrist. There is the revelation of the red horse, where peace is taken from the earth. And there is a supernatural cause behind all of a sudden a breaking out of humanity, butchering and murdering and killing one another by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. Well, that issue's to come. And what we're seeing right now, again, is these birth pangs. And we need to watch to see what will erupt in these nations. It will have an effect on the economy. It'll have an effect on the gas prices. It'll have the effect of nations battling and taking sides. All of this, I believe, is part of what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, in one of the sharpest, clearest declarations of what it's going to be like to live in the end of days. Well, one thing that can help you, we're putting up, and we started with the introduction today, we have on our website, and that for the new folks, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. There's literally hundreds of MP3s. Let me tell you, there's a course called Satanism 101, exposing the basic backgrounds of Satanism and the developments of Satanism. That course is free. There's over 20 hours of lectures. There is a course called Confronting the Powers. There is a course on the Holy Spirit, on Freedom Encounters. Quite a few different ones, but the most important one right now, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. And I would say to priests, I would say to Roman Catholics, that on this website, left-hand side, scrolling over and down, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, that is one of the most important. Heads up, right now, 14 hours worth of lectures dealing with satanic ritual abuse, the infiltration of churches, and the deep-rooted infiltration of the Catholic system. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, but more so the rest of this week. We're giving the introduction this week, the theme, dealing with the Catholic rite of exorcism, and some of the other things concerning Roman Catholicism, Luciferianism, infiltration, and The End of Days. Now, tonight, we're going to deal with the movie primarily, The Rite. Tuesday night, sexual ritual abuse, that is, satanic ritual abuse among those who have been sexually abused by the thousands. And let's ask the question tonight, what does Roman Catholicism have to say about satanic ritual abuse, the creation of multiple personality disorder, the fact that probably in Europe we're dealing with 20 to 30 million cases across the board? What about Wednesday night, Roman Catholic system infected with political, religious, liberal, and even man-made traditions? We're going to ask the questions about biblical foundations, likeness to the book, to the church in the book of Acts, and the goal of spiritual purity. Thursday night, the infiltration, subversion. And I think this is what this priest, Gabriele Amaroth, was talking about. Massive infiltration. Now, it is my opinion, it is my research, it is what I've been looking at over the years, that I believe there's been massive infiltration, sleepers deep, deep within the Vatican. And I agree with Malachi Martin in the possibilities of the mother of the Antichrist, the conception and initiation of the Antichrist's, well, conception and birth. We'll talk about this on Thursday night. Friday night, the Roman Catholic mysticism. We're going to talk about the simple clarity of salvation. Are you saved? Do you know what that means when I ask the question? Let me mention also, Saturday, preemption broadcast, we'll have some new things up. The Book of Acts Field Manual for the End of Days has begun. We have the 70-minute introduction already up. We'll go on with chapter 1 starting this week, and just chapter by chapter by chapter, and looking at what God has done in the body of Christ and what God will be doing in our lives, even in the end of days. Hey, don't forget, I want to see you. New England Conference there in Groton, Connecticut. The conference is called a Supernatural Explanations Event, and it's called literally C for short, S-E-E, and that is going to be March the 25th, 26th, 27th. We have information on our site about it. More is coming. We also have the Fort Wayne, Indiana Politics of Religion, the Politics of Religion Conference. That's going to be fantastic. That's April the 1st, April the 2nd, coming up soon. We may be having one in Chicago. We may be having one out west. We've been invited to speak. It's some kind of internet radio. I don't know for sure what it is, but it's going to be up in the Minnesota area, and we'll tell you about that. Once again, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Now, at that website, all the other things are going to be listed. In the book, The Black Awakening, I address the Catholic Church issue. I address the infiltration issue. I address the satanic ritual abuse issues connected with the sexual abuse issues. The Black Rooms, what Malachi Martin has said, what William Kennedy has written in the book that he put out there called Lucifer's Lodge. And the tracking down and the naming of names of cardinals and bishops and priests involved in not just, which is bad enough, sexual abuse of children, but of the satanic rituals, the behind the scene. Now, I'm going to ask tonight, because of who might be listening, I'm asking Catholics, Roman Catholics, priests, leaders within the system, what about satanic ritual abuse? What about multiplicity? I bring this up primarily because of the movie. Do you remember the movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose? Now, this dear little girl, and I've been watching other videos on YouTube concerning her, Annalise. And Annalise, born, I believe, in the 50s, and growing up in the 50s at least, German background, Catholic background. Now, a number of red flags came up. I went to see the movie. Matter of fact, so many people asked me to see the movie and comment on it. I think I saw it 6 or 7 times and even have the CD. And again, like a book, reading it, studying it, seeing what's true, what's not true, what and why it's even out there. And coming away from that movie, The Exorcism of Annalise, or Emily Rose, was very sad to know that she actually died, that the girl actually went through all that she did. And looking at the YouTube videos, and if that is her, as these videos proclaim it to be, and observing, my concern was everybody missed the boat. My concern, whether or not, was Annalise, was she a multiple? Sub-personalities are different than demonic presence. Sub-personalities can be demonized. Sub-personalities can be programmed. And here is what is needed within the entire body of Christ worldwide: tremendous discernment, tremendous information and knowledge about this issue. And we need to really, really intently understand the origins of what may be at this point 100 million cases worldwide, four generations of satanic ritual abuse that has its origins in Lebensborn, the goal of creating a master race, godmen, hybrid humans. And the black flame, the satanic agenda within the Nazi Reich. Let's not forget that when the Nazis were falling and lost the war, that some reports say 80,000 SS troops got away. That the rat lines and the entrance of Nazi black flame individuals, scientists, psychologists, workers infiltrated the Catholic Church, were brought in through the Catholic Church. You're talking 60 years. How old are some of those priests? What kind of background do they have? I'm saying look for the Nazi, not just German, but the Nazi background, and begin to delve into the issue of the black flame, the goal of Lebensborn, the desire to create Aryan God like soldiers. We've got a lot of things going on in this world around us, and we all have our own issues, absolutely, but we're talking about, well, the end of days. We're talking that in Italy alone, the last report I read from a Catholic source, Catholic news agency, 600,000 in Italy alone. Italy alone. 600,000 involved in direct Satanism and occultism, with I think they said 8,000 different brands or groups of them. You're saying that the Vatican exorcist has done 70,000 exorcisms engaging demonic presence in individuals. Can I ask you a question? Question is, how do the demons get in? Well, let's ask three. How do they get in? What do they want? How do they get out? Now, we're going to focus on those three questions at the end of this program. And I want you to know that you're able to, if you want to, you can email in shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Sometimes we're able to get that email right during the live show. Sometimes we're able to bring it up the next day and bring it on the show all week long. And again, let me say, by the providence of God, whether there are Roman Catholic priests and leaders, members, Europe specifically, Italy specifically, the Vatican specifically. Yeah, we're praying for that. We're praying for an interaction. Because of the entire theme this week and what it is, we feel that the Spirit of God is leading us to bring out. On the website, shatterthedarkness.net, here's what I say in the beginning. Quote, the Roman Catholic Church, her system, is one of the largest religious institutions in the world. It is one of the wealthiest also. What is this religious system made up of, and where did some of its practices come from? Is the Pope the vicar of Christ on the earth? Is Mary co-redemptor? Where did the Roman Catholic Church go wrong, and can it be made right? With the new call from the Vatican for exorcists, will it help in the overwhelming presence of demonized individuals, satanic cults, and can it confront Luciferians embedded as the shadow system within the Vatican? Can you find, question here, can you find salvation, assurance, and a personal relationship with Christ? What does it really mean, you must be born again? Now, those are the living words of Jesus. Those are not mine. Those are not Protestants. These are the words spoken long before from the Greek into the Latin, into the so before that ever reached. These are the words of Christ in the presence of Nicodemus, who didn't understand. And here you now have the Lord Christ explaining and speaking about an experience, the core experience that must be received, experienced, obtained in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, it relates to Timothy chapter 3. We're going to define it more and more this week. But I think the living words of Christ, well, in my mind and in my heart, that is the weight of heaven. There is no higher word. There is nothing that can usurp it. And any attempt of man-made traditions hung onto the scripture only to obscure them is very similar to what Jesus said to the Pharisees of the day. That by their traditions, they are nullifying the word of God. Do you know the power of the word of God? Do you know that the word of God is alive, that it's active, that it's living, that it is the living voice of God and holds supreme, infallible authority over everything else? It's the grid by which we discern. It's the grid by which we live. It's the grid by, well, listen, faith comes from hearing this logos, this word. Without it, we can't be saved. Without it, we cannot grow. Without it, we cannot really deeply understand. Every believer listening right now should know that great, deep study of the Word of God, systematic study of the Word of God, knowledge of the Word of God, is what all of us really need in light of the Lordship of Christ. I go on to say on the website these words, quote, for Roman Catholics, who is bigger, the Lord Jesus Christ or the Roman Catholic Church? Who holds lordship, authority? Who hung on the cross? So I'm just simply inviting everyone to take a listen this week as we tackle some of the issues. Now, there are those that would love for me just to simply, you know, and I see this happen all over the place, where there's those that love to bash the Roman Catholic Church, bash the Baptist Church, bash, you know, and just simply yelling at people and making statements without any interaction, without any goal of ministry. It's not what Jesus did when he approached the Church of Laodicea. It's not what Jesus did when he approached the church of Sardis. Jesus, who is head of the church, holds the only right for judgment over the church. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who can say, I know your deeds. He can say what failure there is and where folks have gone off and what they are missing. He and he alone. So reading the seven churches gives a lot of living words of God, insight, maybe conviction, discernment to what the Lord Jesus and how he deals with the local church and how he offers even to the, well, which seems the worst of the worst, Laodicea, he even gives them an invitation to come back to a personal relationship, back to that eye salve so they could see spiritually again, back to fellowship with him if they really want it. Now, that's the question throughout this week, and that's the priority of this week. Interaction, discussion, and the sense of the Spirit of Christ in what he's going to be speaking to thousands and thousands of individuals' hearts and to many Roman Catholics and to those that are inquiring and to the New Agers, many of which are ex-Catholics. You know, there's a lot of Catholics by the hundreds of thousands that have never gotten saved, never experienced the living Christ, never experienced the love and the joy and the power of salvation. They held a system of religion, a mystery system, and out of the lack of the real thing, salvation, knowing Christ, it's very easy to drift away. It's very easy to drift out into the New Age movement. It's very easy to drift out to where there are spiritual experiences, events, other voices, non-human enhancements, all kinds of things that can occur. And anybody that wants to check it out, just start asking New Agers. Just look at the book authors. You're going to find many psychics. You're going to find many wizards. You're going to find many in witchcraft in Italy alone that may even still say they are still Catholic by name. Is it possible to be a Baptist and not be saved? Yes. Is it possible to be a Presbyterian and not know the living Christ? Yes. It is very possible. Very possible to say that you're a Roman Catholic. What does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to dig into specifically on Friday evening. Tonight, we want to touch on the movie and the buzz. I mean, the movie made, it outsold everything over the weekend, I guess. It became the number one film, and it's going to be all over Europe. It's going to be all over. I've read reports of others writing about it, looking at the background, that the young priest from the United States, he's real and he lives in America now, that the older priest still lives in Rome and is alive still to this day. So there are some elements of truth to, or a real life story, I should say, behind this movie. I think there's another reason. Because the issue is right now real, it is prevalent, it is literally like a flood that has overrun the banks, and everybody's wondering, what do we do with the water? Some saw it coming, some are overwhelmed by it, and some have been caught into it. Maybe even listening tonight, maybe listening by the archives later on, The Possessed. Oh yeah, it's possible for The Possessed to, you know, have a few moments of calm, but the dark side inside, well, they don't want you to listen, we understand. We prayed ahead of time. We pray now, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We bind all demonic spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Command them to be silenced. We ask the Lord to stretch out his hand to save, to heal, to deliver, to restore lives in the name of Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. Let me say again, this great Savior dies on the cross for the sin of the world. But he dies on the cross according to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The reason for the Son of God coming into this world was to destroy the work of the devil. And you better believe, if you've been involved in exorcism or deliverance ministry, and if you have seen demonized individuals and you have heard the demons speak through the mouths of possessed individuals, throwing them to the ground, putting them into agony, mocking God and blaspheming, yelling and screaming, speaking in other languages and backwards and doing things and even trying to bring harm and attack. There's a deeper complexity when it comes to satanic ritual abuse, multi-generational Satanism, the bigger and larger agenda of creating satanic chosen ones. And I'm telling you now, and I'm saying to those who are believers in Christ, in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and you are in fellowship with the living Christ, and there you are, you find yourself in the Vatican, you find yourself in the system. I'm saying it may be time not only to look deep into the infiltration of the Vatican and the Roman Catholic system, but to also be the whistleblower in obedience to Ephesians chapter 5 to expose evil deeds of darkness. There are those within the Catholic system, including priests, that believe that there is a deep, subversive, satanic system hidden throughout the Roman Catholic Church. There are those that believe that this comes from some of the old, well, specialized groups that have developed over the years. The Jesuits. Or just sheer infiltration when so many of the Nazis were running and leaving. I think that you can connect the dots between the time of the Ratlines, the Nazis who faked becoming the priests. And we're going to have to ask the question, what about the thousands, oh, not just in America, what about Ireland, Scotland, England, all over Europe, and specifically Germany, and deep there in Rome itself? Among those places, deep in Rome and deep in the Vatican, there's no question in my mind, no question in my heart, satanic, richly abused, highly programmed, those whose soulical side have been split, programmed, there are sleepers among you. There's an ancient order within, no different, maybe broader, maybe stronger, maybe larger than the serpent worship found in Ezekiel chapter 8. In Ezekiel chapter 8, it was right in the city of God, right by the temple of God, and even the prophet of God himself did not know until God led him, guided him, and unveiled what it was that was going on behind the spiritual curtain, deeply hidden and supernaturally covered. There is a secret power of lawlessness. There is truly a black nobility. It deeply, deeply affects all of Europe. For those in Europe right now listening, in my opinion, the Antichrist has been born, has been operative, has his regime in place, and desires to create the chaos, collapsing the nations, only to bring a new regime and a new world order. Keep watching the chaos, keep watching the threats that are coming to bring collapse of nations, wars, rumors of wars, but eventually such a collapse that even the U.S. falls. Out of the dust, out of the fear of annihilation, will come a regime that has been training, that has been preparing, that has been placed, that has been behind the scenes supernaturally, that has waited for its timing. There is a new world order. I think there are many within the Catholic system that understand that. I think there are many within the Catholic system that have seen. I think there are those within the Catholic system that have been doing exorcisms that have engaged multiples. You've engaged chosen ones. You've engaged those who go back generationally. Beyond demonization of one person. Now within the system of altar sub-personalities, we have something far more complex. Far more. In the story, in the movie concerning Annalise, the exorcism of Emily Rose, it is my opinion that she was multiple. It is my opinion that when the research is done, and maybe if the family would allow the interaction, that this went beyond demonization and involved subpersonalities and programming. And without dealing with subpersonalities and programming, you will not see a person get healed. And you will see the constant return and re-demonization because of the sub-person's abilities to open doorways and bring them back. To the Vatican, to the Roman Catholic system, to the priests, to the members of the Roman Catholic Church, on a spiritual basis, where are you? How do you observe, how do you see this infiltration of the Catholic system? What's going to be done if the smoke of Satan becomes literally a fire? So broad, so wide, that it's among the bishops and the cardinals. And is it possible that even a pope? The movie The Rite, obvious with, well, movie stars that played these parts, pretty amazing demonstration of acting abilities. A lot of Hollywood entered in because they had to kind of, put in the sounds and actions of the demonic. Let me mention real quickly here, and the movie itself, there's some issues. One, once again, the priests were weak. Now, what I mean is the American priest didn't even know what he believed, didn't know if he was still flirting with atheism, and like an old girlfriend, he says, keeps coming around. He didn't know where his faith was. He didn't know what he believed. He didn't know what was real. Doubted everything about the presence of the demonic, the presence of the enemy. It's understandable that there are those that doubt, but listen, there are also those that walk in assurance, that walk in faith, that know God's presence and know the power of God, and they also spiritually discern and know the reality of the dark side. Let me say to the skeptics, and to those who have listened to the skeptics, they can't help anybody. They are powerless and empty, filled with questions only to blanket their own concern. In the movie, the young priest, definitely demonstrating himself to be a doubter, definitely demonstrating himself to be weak in every single way, all the way up to the very end when the original, supposed to be powerful, delivering exorcist priest himself falls into doubt, himself gets possessed. And I tell you what, the issue of salvation in the movie was never clear. I mean, at the very end, even when the reporter girl was telling the young priest, when he's slammed up against the wall by the old possessed priest, supposedly Satan speaking through, trying to convert the priest to the satanic side, the reporter yells that it can't be just words. In other words, you can't just read books. The magic is not in the reading of some rite. The magic is not in the reading of some book. That's powerless. The issue was, you have to accept God. Now, they did say it, you have to accept God. You got to know God. You have to have God. There were some phrases in there about the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke you, Satan. But the issue of the priest's spirituality and their relationship to the living Christ, once again, as in all the other exorcist-type movies, clearly questioned, demonstrating again a sheer weakness on their level, and the possession by the powerful demon of the priest who was the original expert. How did that happen? What was it his fear? Was it his doubts? What is that how a demon, is that how the devil gets in? Salvation was not made clear. Even when the Word of God says that there is no other name given to men, under heaven, given to men, whereby we must be saved. That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That Romans chapter 10, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That if we read John's Gospel chapter 1, but to as many as received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, born of God. Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. The message is clear. Christ, the living Christ, wants to come into your life. The work, forgiveness, freedom from the power of the sin nature, freedom of Satan's rights and rules, deliverance from hell, relationship to God, the implanting of the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God himself. But salvation is about the living Christ coming in. It is about a relationship. Thus, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. Either you know you are saved and the living Christ dwells in you by the Spirit of God, or you don't. Good news is, the Word of God is clear about this issue, that whosoever listening right now, if you don't know the living Christ, he knocks at the door of your heart. He comes to you. He comes to bring his work, his miracle of salvation, the presence of the Spirit of God inside your life, and bring you into personal relationship with God, knowing you've been forgiven, knowing you have new power for living, knowing you have the gift of eternal life. Salvation in the biblical revelation is clear. Salvation in the biblical revelation is based on the love of God and involves great joy and involves God's passionate will not to lose anybody. Now, you can read it in Timothy if you want. In praying for all lost lives to be saved, it says, that is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, thelema, wants, desires, pos anthropos, all humanity to be saved. If you're listening right now, even as a reporter, even as somebody just inquiring, somebody on the outside looking in, don't miss what I'm saying. Forget everything else right now in this entire broadcast other than one thing. God loves you. God wants you more than anybody else. God knows all about your life. And the work of Jesus on that cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his bearing your sin, his providing the gift of eternal life that leads to indestructible immortality. Are you going to miss that? Are you going to miss indestructible immortality? Are you going to miss the face of God? Are you going to miss forgiveness of your sin? Either the living Christ is on the inside, or he is not. 1,000 alternative counterfeit spiritual experiences of the New Age and of counterfeit fallen finite spirits will not help you. There is no other name given out of the heavens whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, the demons fear. Jesus Christ, the angels worship. Jesus Christ, the prophets proclaimed and prophesied is coming. Jesus Christ, the apostles, and all of Scripture by the Spirit of God. He has been unveiled to the world. Jesus Christ been sent into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Very clear. Even in the prophets, reading the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, salvation, the proclamation of salvation, and how to get there was the first priority of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, that's not going to be seen in the movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. That's not going to be seen literally in the movie, The Last Exorcism, or the three or four series of the old Exorcist movies. You're never going to get clarity there about salvation, about deliverance in Christ, about how to know God for sure. Not that Listen, so many living under religious systems and under mystical spirituality, God is on the other side of the universe. God is way out there somewhere. Though you may have fond feelings, God wants to come inside of your life. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, prior to Jesus going to the cross, in the Lord's Prayer, God speaking to God the Father, Jesus says these words. You can read it yourself. Jesus says to the Father, and that, quote, referring to himself, I myself might live in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory, living presence. What salvation is the living Christ coming into your life. You become born from above, a new birth, a new power. God remedies the sin factor, the Satan factor, the hell factor, the judgment factor, the separation from God factor. It's all taken care of the moment Christ enters your life. And God wants you, and Jesus knocks. And right now, wherever you are and whenever you listen, the Word of God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord right now, wherever you are, priest, politician, professional, prostitute, dear person, call out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Let him come into your life. Let him bring all of his presence and glory inside of you. Be saved. Experience salvation. With that comes the graces of God's healing in Christ and clearly deliverance. Now let me say one more thing about the movie again. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. And one thing the movie did was demonstrate this possession of the demon, this demon's desire to convert the priest. Kind of like Satan in Matthew chapter 4, desiring to convert Christ. The demonic side has the audacity to not only want to fight and resist you, but he would love to even try to win over. Maybe you find yourself into Wicca. Maybe you find yourself into some satanic cult. Maybe you've been invited to meetings. You experienced things. You felt powers come in. You've gone to rituals. And all the while you say you're a baptized Catholic. You have had a background in the church. Where do you stand? Why are you listening right now? Why does the Spirit of God call you? And I pray that Jesus will deliver you from the demonic side so that you can cry out and call on the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming into your life is the central reason why he came and died on that cross. Are you in a personal relationship? Do you know the Savior as God, as Lord, as friend? In the movie, the devil's demonstrated, again, pretty adequately, as a liar, as a deceiver, as a mocker, as a destroyer of human life, which all is true. I've not done 70,000 deliverances, just hundreds. And it wouldn't matter if it was just dozens or five. Once you see a demonic presence in the life of a human being, throwing that human being to the ground, causing them pain, speaking through their mouth, looking through their eyes, and feeling that dark power, you'll never forget it. The smoke of Satan, it's because of his presence, his manifestation. The desire to stay hidden within systems for now, but you can be sure the dark side operates and can only be confronted by the authority of Christ that Christ has given every believer. Every believer listening right now, doesn't matter priest, pastor, doesn't matter what title you might even want to use. Every believer in Christ, Luke's Gospel chapter 10, Jesus says, I have given you authority. Perfect tense. so that you can trample on the dark side and overcome all the power of the enemy. It is about ordering by the authority of Christ that demonic presence. In the movie, the young girl, possessed, doesn't get free. She dies horribly. However, the demon got in, whatever else was done, reading books. Now before me, I have the current rite of exorcism. And all of the words upon words upon words upon words to be read. Now, that's cool that there are scriptures there. But if you go back to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, if you go through the Gospels, you're going to find that Jesus never did it that way. He didn't touch them. He just simply ordered them, commanded them. And in his giving us, his people, all of us, the authority over the demonic realm for the purpose of casting demons out of people's lives, look at the context of Luke chapter 10. Let that be your training guide. Let that be the Lord Jesus Christ's training for you. When he sent them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, pray for the healing of lives, he also sent them to cast out demons, and they did it just like Jesus did. If you would look into the book of Acts, you're going to see the first 30 years of the early church. Going to Acts chapter 16, watching the Apostle Paul command Python, a powerful demonic presence, inside a young girl that was giving predictions where others were making money off of her. Probably just like people are being used there in Rome, all throughout Italy, all throughout Europe, here in America, Canada, around the world, Russia. You're using them. You are perpetrators. You are in danger of hellfire. The Luciferian that listens, the Satan that listens, the undergrounder, the black nobility, whatever you want to term yourself, it's not as though God does not see you. It's not as though you will escape his judgment. Live sold out to Satan, you die that way. Do you have any assurance? Is Satan a truth teller? He going to save you? He going to give you eternal life? When you read Acts chapter 16, you see the apostle do it just like Jesus did. That's the simple way in which believers can do that. As a matter of fact, on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down a little bit, you'll find a one-hour training, how spirits get in, how to get rid of demons. A simple training that will help you. Thousands have downloaded it already. Well, here we are, the end of the hour already. So much more to say. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. We'll be back on Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. Hey, we need you to remember us in prayer. We need some of you to remember us in support. Hey, God bless you. We love you. Good night.